Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. Family, welcome to the Nevi'im. I love saying that word. I love Nevi'im. It's like Mufasa. Say it again. Mufasa. Anyway. Nevi'im. Welcome to the Nevi'im. That's the prophets. For anyone who's not aware, okay, the Tanakh is the three-step ordering of the Hebrew scriptures or the Hebrew Bible. The T in Tanakh stands for Torah. And we have gone through the entire Torah, and it is now time to get into the N of this acronym. And the N is Nevi'im. This is the prophets, okay? The prophets, their role, their job, is to hold Israel accountable to the Torah. So it's absolutely natural that the Nevi'im is the next section of the Tanakh after the Torah. So once there's a Torah, now there needs to be prophets to hold people accountable to that Torah. The third part of the Tanakh is going to be the writings. And we'll get into the writings when we get into them. But for now, we've got the Nevi'im. So first thing that I want to tell you about the prophets is that the prophets are not about foretelling. They're not primarily designed for foretelling, but forthtelling. Okay, foretelling is like predicting the future, predicting things about, 100 years from now, or who's going to win an election, or, what color eyes your next baby's going to have, right? Just like predictions, fortune telling. Okay. So when you think about foretelling, think about like someone telling your fortune. And the prophets have some of that. Like when you read through the Old Testament prophets or the Hebrew scripture, the prophets of the Hebrew scriptures, when you read through books like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Habakkuk, like Joel, Amos, when you read through books like that, there are going to be elements of predictions about Jesus's life. But that is the small percentage. The overwhelming percentage are going to be telling the truth. So not foretelling, but forthtelling. Telling people the truth. And what is the truth? Well, God's revealed truth up until this point is the Torah. Okay, the Torah. The first five books of the Bible, and not just Torah as in these are the books of the Bible, but this is the covenant. So when you think about the Torah, think about the book of Deuteronomy. This is the covenant, the legal covenant agreement that God has made with his people. And so now that there is a legally binding agreement between Yahweh and his people, now there arises a group that's going to hold Israel accountable to that covenant. And there are nuances. So let's get into the nuances. One of the things that you're going to realize about the Nevi'im is the Nevi'im is split into two categories, the former prophets and the latter prophets. The former prophets are probably books that you and I, or any modern person, or someone who's been influenced by a westernized rendering of the scriptures, would consider these to be like historical books. That's the category we will put these in. So the former prophets, according to the Hebrew scriptures, according to the Tanakh, according to Jesus, like when Jesus picked up a Bible, he would have seen Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, these four books, as the former prophets. Then, same way there are four former prophets, there are four latter prophets. The four latter prophets would be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then, this is where it gets a little tricky, the Scroll of the 12. What's the Scroll of the 12? Well, that's the 12 minor prophets, okay? 12 minor prophets. It's not that they're less important, it's that their books are considerably smaller. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, huge books. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, shorter books, and all of those books can fit on one scroll. So the 12 would have been a collection of 12 scrolls, okay? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then the 12. So that's former prophets, latter prophets. One last kind of curveball about the Nevi'im is that for most American or modern or Western readers, the book of Daniel would be categorized as a prophetic book. However, in the Hebrew Bible, Daniel is a part of the Ketuvim. So if you were wondering, wait, when are we going to get to Daniel? Well, that's a part of the Ketuvim. Also, if you're wondering, isn't Ruth, like, doesn't Ruth come, like, after Judges, you know, like Joshua, Judges, Ruth? In the English translations that you're probably used to, yes. But for the Hebrew scriptures, Ruth is a part of the Ketuvim. So Daniel and Ruth, both part of the Ketuvim. Also, you're probably wondering, wait a second, I'm used to 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Well, again, Chronicles is a part of the Ketuvim. Also, none of these books are split into 1 and 2 in the Hebrew scriptures. They are simply Samuel as one book, Kings as one book, Chronicles as one book. These are some nerdy nuggets that'll help you to actually navigate the Bible reading plan. Now, let's get into, like, that's kind of minor details. Let's kind of get into a big, 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 not issue, but a big topic that I actually think is going to help a lot, okay? Now, I've mentioned that the role of the prophets are not to foretell, but to forthtell, to hold God's people accountable to the Torah. And that's going to happen in two ways. The former prophets, that's Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, are going to do that with narrative. And then Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 are going to do that through preaching and then transcribing that preaching into books. Okay, so the preaching prophets are the prophets that are actually speaking out against injustice, speaking out against idolatry. I want you to think about this as, like, imagine we're in a lawsuit and the people of Israel are being on trial. Okay, the people of Israel are on trial. The people of Israel essentially get to the exile and they're saying, we don't deserve to be exiled from the land. Yahweh has acted unjustly towards us. Well, there's two ways that a lawyer is going to make their case. The first is going to be evidence. Well, actually, there's just evidence that you were unfaithful to Yahweh and he is just in exiling you. And the books of Judges, Joshua, Samuel, and Kings are that evidence. So these stories, these narratives, paint a historical picture that these people have not been faithful to the Torah. Literally, like, Deuteronomy is the last of the laws. And as soon as the law is given, like, as soon as it's done, and Moses dies, and Joshua is now charged to bring the people into the land, it says, like, in the beginning of the book of Judges, that generation that followed Joshua, they didn't even take the land that God told them to take, that they didn't even pass the baton of faith on to the next generation. And from Joshua on, they spiral into idolatry and spiral into injustice and spiral into sinfulness. They spiral into a pattern of being unfaithful to the covenant, unfaithful to the Torah. So Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings tells the story of Israel's unfaithfulness, unfaithfulness to the Torah. So in a lawsuit, there's evidence, but then there's, like, the prosecuting attorney who's making a case against the guilty party. And the preaching prophets are actually the ones standing up and making that case. Now, the other reason that these former prophets are prophets, okay, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, is because, first of all, the Bible says at the end of Moses' life, someone like a prophet like Moses will arise. And that prophet is Joshua. Now, the fulfillment of that prophet like Moses is Jesus. But the immediate fulfillment of a prophet like Moses arising is Joshua. And so Joshua is seen as a prophet. Second, the book of Judges is most likely written by Samuel. And Samuel is a prophet. The book of Samuel, obviously Samuel is a main character. And Samuel's a prophet. And then in the book of Kings, you are going to find a litany of prophets. Kings actually is going to function a lot like the book of Acts in the New Testament. So remember, when we looked at books like Philippians, Colossians, Corinthians, instead of just going and finding Corinthians, we saw that Paul was in Corinth in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts provides the historical backbone for all of Paul's letters. In the same way, the book of Kings is going to provide the historical backbone to all of the prophets. So when we want to see when did Jonah prophesy, it's going to be in either 1st or 2nd Kings. What about Isaiah, 1st or 2nd Kings? What about Micah, 1st or 2nd Kings? Okay, so 1st or 2nd Kings is going to have preaching prophets that have books attached to their name. Also, 1st and 2nd Kings, at least the figureheads for 1st and 2nd Kings, are going to be Elijah and Elisha, who are prophets. Last kind of bit of nuance is that there's a difference between the official office of the prophet and then the functional role of a prophet. So the office of a prophet is necessary once there's a king, okay? So capital K, king, requires capital P, prophet. So the reason that we get Samuel established as a prophet to the nation of Israel is because he has to anoint Israel's first king named Saul. So prophets and kings go together, because the way that you hold the nation accountable to the Torah is by holding its leader accountable to the Torah. Now, then David becomes the next king. The prophet Nathan is going to hold him accountable. And I need you to see this, that Nathan doesn't predict David's future. He doesn't say, David, 100 years from now, this is what's going to happen. No, actually tells David something about his past. Says, you slept with Bathsheba, you killed Uriah. This is prophecy. Not telling someone something about their future, but telling them the truth that they've tried to cover up. Showing them the truth of their life, which is it not in alignment with God's Torah, with God's law, with the covenant that you've made with God. In that way, modern day preaching is a lot like ancient prophesying. It's holding up a mirror of God's word to someone's life, and not necessarily telling them what's going to happen in the future, but revealing secret sin that's in their life, revealing that their life doesn't line up with the covenant that they've made with God, with the covenant that we as the church should be living out as our reality, as the bride of Christ, as followers of Christ. So what we're going to see in Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings is not just the role of the capital P prophet like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, but we're going to see the functioning role of the prophet through these narratives. Through the book of Joshua, Joshua is going to function to show us that the book of Joshua bears witness against the people of Israel, that they've broken covenant with God through their actions. That word right there, witness. That's another legal term. So there's evidence, there's the prosecuting argument, and then there's witness, witnesses. Every law or every covenant had to have witnesses. At the end of the Torah, the very end of the book of Deuteronomy, God says, in all these other secular pagan treaties, there's witnesses, and the witnesses are the sun, the stars, the moon, but I'm not going to swear by the sun, the stars, and the moon because these things don't have power over me and they don't have power over you, but my word will bear witness. The Torah itself is going to be something that bears witness against you, against your unfaithfulness. And so Joshua is going to write about the sins of the people to hold them accountable to the Torah, but also to bear witness of their unfaithfulness. Judges is not just an account of multiple leaders trying to hold God's people accountable to the Torah, but it bears witness against their unfaithfulness. So there's this three-part legal proceeding happening. There's evidence that the people have been unfaithful. There's the preaching or the condemning of their lifestyles that's happening. And then there's the evidence of the books themselves that bear witness that the people have been unfaithful. So Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings are the former prophets. We have to reorient our mind to that. And then Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 are the latter prophets. Now, here's what you are going to realize as you move through our Bible reading plan. I call this Tanakh with a twist. We're following the Tanakh ordering of Scripture, but we're doing it with a little bit of a twist. So instead of just giving you the former prophets, you'll see the former prophets are in order. But then once we get to the latter prophets, I thought it would actually be helpful to put them in chronological order. And so I'm veering away from the Tanakh ordering of Scripture to put the prophetic books, the latter prophets, into chronological order. Because when we get through 1st, 2nd Samuel and 1st, 2nd Kings, you're going to get a lot of chronology. Like, you're going to really understand the narrative arc from the people leaving Egypt to the people coming into the land and them dwelling in the land and then getting exiled. You're really going to start to see the entire story of God's people. And then the prophets fit into that story. So we're going to put the latter prophets in chronological order. I actually think it's going to be really, really, really helpful. But then when we get back to the Ketuvim, we're going to get right back to the ordering that you would find in the Hebrew Scriptures. So welcome to the Nevi'im. It's the way that you would find it in a Hebrew Bible. But just one caveat, we put the latter prophets in chronological order because I really feel like that would help. And I hope that you enjoy the books of the prophets, the former prophets and the latter prophets. What I love about the Nevi'im, the former prophets and the latter prophets, is that you can feel God's heartbeat for his people. These books are not prose. God's not writing an essay about how much he loves his people. He's writing poetry. He's writing emotive and emotionally charged books. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, these books are not theological essays about God's love and his faithfulness. No, this is like the kind of poetry that a husband would write for his bride. And you can hear the heart of God, the heart of a father, the heart of a husband who's longing for covenant faithfulness from his people. And so anyone who would argue that like God is not an emotional being, actually the prophets place the emotions of God on full display. It's time for us to dive into the prophets. We're going to start with the book of Joshua. Let's dive in. Thank you so much for joining me on the Bible Department podcast. If this episode was helpful, it would mean the world to me if you'd give us a follow, rate and review the show, and don't forget to share. You can learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and find us on Instagram at The Bible Department. If you want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow. What if I told you that what you're learning in this video was just the tip of the iceberg? The Bible Department is actually powered by Arma. What is Arma? I'm so glad you asked. Arma is an online subscription-based platform that we designed to help people, everyday people, learn the Bible for themselves. We started Arma so that anybody, anywhere, could have access to trustworthy and entertaining Bible and theology content. In addition to this podcast, we have over 60 courses on individual books of the Bible, on theology topics, and on some hot topics like homosexuality, tithing, and women in ministry. But really, Arma is a community of people that I've gotten to know, a community where thousands of people are currently finding family, asking questions, and nerding out on the Bible together. If you want a community to read the Bible with you this year, or if you want to dive into some deeper theological content, or if you want more exclusive access to me and the entire Arma team, how about you go to thebibledepartment.com. I'll be sure to post the link in the description of this video. Let's make this your year to become a Bible nerd.